Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the 80th edition of the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackowitz. How you doing, Bob?
Hello, Matthew. We're laughing already because we've already started with our cavalcade of penetrating journalistic questions.
Yeah.
While Matt was revving up the laptop, I'm like, why didn't strawberry milk take off? And the look on his face was so like, ooh,
it's good question. Because you can break that down to, is it because, you know, it's not going to beat chocolate milk? So it'll probably always be third behind normal milk and then chocolate milk. So it's going in, and this is off the top of my head, thinking about it, it's going in with a bit of a disadvantage, but it's delicious. It's novelty. It's great.
It makes no sense, Matt. There are so many flavors of ice cream. And what is ice cream except for melted milk?
Yeah, that's true. It's a really good
point.
Should
you and I start a business with flavored milks?
That's not a bad idea.
Because they do it with yogurt, right? Like you can get like Yop. Remember Yop?
Yeah, well, Yop's still out there.
Yeah, you know what they should have called Yop?
What?
Nope.
It's a horrible joke.
Who wants to drink? I know. My jokes are getting dad and dad. I'm like more and more. Like all the under 30s I hang out with now think it's cute the way I tell dad jokes.
Oh, no, you're cute.
I'm cute.
That's the worst. Like, it's great to be cute. There's a certain age where it's good to be cute. It's a small window. And then after, it's bad when you're too young, and then it's bad when you're getting a little bit older. So yeah, that's not good.
It's not good. I'm starting to feel like I'm the guy they call when they can't get home from a party. And they don't have cash for a cab.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell them, well, I'm not driving you home, gang.
I got some bad news for you.
We have so much to get to.
Yeah.
A lot of it non-sports. How do we talk free agency?
Well, here's the thing. For people listening, we're recording this. It's 11:02 on Friday. And anything could happen over the next couple of days. You know, Tavares, JVR, Bozak, Ryan O'Reilly, LeBron James.
As you were walking up the steps, Matt, you may not even know this, but LeBron James has opted out of his player option. And so now he's officially a free agent.
He's officially a free agent.
So from the drive from TSN here.
Yeah.
Monumental news.
Monumental news. So I don't think we can do a lot of it because it's going to be dated really quickly. You know, also, here are some things I want to discuss. Your basement bathroom. I'm going to give you a high grade.
Thank you.
That'll be damning with faint praise. And let's face it, I'll be condescending as hell. I want to talk about ketchup on eggs.
Ooh, now that's important.
The proper, what utensil do you use when you have pie a la mode?
Ooh, so with a slab of ice cream on it.
And I saw the Mr. Rogers movie. And we've got Charlotte's last day of class was yesterday.
Yes.
And she made a great sign, the Macko and Cos podcast.
Which we can put out on Instagram.
I'll put out on my Instagram account. Bob will put it out on the official Macko and Cos podcast.
I'm off of social media. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll randomly jump on and just like a tweet and go away.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like Bill Murray, where I just like randomly show up at people's weddings.
You're phantom.
Sing a song and then run out.
Yeah, you're the phantom of the social media. Just you. Oh, from the ceilings. Look, there's Bob Mackowitz. Some call him the Parkdale Panther. Some say he used to be on Twitter a lot. Yes, back in the days. Remember, every day he would send out a tweet. He would tell you a song that he liked. But where did he go? And why did my accent become four different ones in once?
I think you actually ended up Aussie.
Yeah, I probably did.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Okay, well, we should talk a little free agency because I think there are some things. I actually thought of a way we could discuss it without discussing it.
Great.
How sick are you of discussing it?
Oh, my God. Like, the thing is, I don't blame the insiders. They don't know anything because, just Fort Knox with Tavares, with agents, and, you know, the Leafs are quiet. And Lamoriello, who's now intricately involved, he's super quiet. And the thing about the insiders, like, you know, the LeBron, the McKenzies, the Dragers, you know, they don't want to say anything where it makes it seem like they're making a guess. So there's 1,000 qualifiers. So no one's known anything for ages. I am so tired of Tavares talk.
Where would you go if you were him?
If I was him, I'd go to Toronto. And this isn't like, and I'm sure there's a bias here, but let's start knocking them off. I wouldn't go to the Islanders because, you know what? They've been horrible. And you've got no
because they're practicing on a frozen pond.
Yeah, they're going to be in two different arenas for the next until Tavares is 31. Dave Poulin, who actually gave good insider info, talked about what the commute would be like, and he said it'd be horrible. Barry Trotz was one bounce puck away from being a loser playoff coach instead of a Stanley Cup winning coach, which is not totally fair, but it's out there. So you've no connection with Lamoriello and Trotz. So I get rid of them. Winning in Toronto, it's just the glory is a little bit higher. You're not going to be as mobbed as you would have been years ago because you're not even the number one star. You've got family here, so you've got family infrastructure. You've got a lot of young talent, a smart organization. I'd pick Toronto. The other one, yeah, so I would go Toronto with maybe next one Tampa because your chances of winning are even greater. And you got a smart organization.
I think Tampa is where I would probably wind up just because you've got great players to play with. You've got no state tax.
Yeah.
And you got great weather.
Yeah.
Like and you're on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup right now.
Yeah,
you can sign a short-year deal. Like if you were going to say, okay, sign the short-year deal. You know, like we've advocated for this.
Yeah.
People have jumped on that bandwagon and said, why not just do a 2 or 3 year deal, try to win a cup, and then sign a 4 or 5 year deal after that, and you know, you'll make a ton of money.
Yeah.
If I was going to do that, I would have picked Tampa Bay over Toronto, wouldn't you?
Yes, 100%.
They're closer.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
That said, also, San Jose is a pretty nice lifestyle. When you talk to hockey players, they'll say it's like the best of all worlds because you have this insane, rabid fan base that is exactly 20,000 people strong.
Yeah.
They fill the arena. They love the team. And then you're totally anonymous when you leave that environment. It's the best of all worlds.
For environment, check.
The wine, Matt.
The wine. Oh, of course. You're close to, you know, Sonoma.
Is there such a thing as a Florida Riesling?
No. And also, Bob, Riesling is more of a cool weather grape. You're not going to get that in Florida. Florida doesn't have mountains where you have the diurnal temperature swing where it's a lot cooler at the top, which create cool nights, which allows for the acidity to be retained.
Now, just
silly, Bob.
Just out of curiosity, did you mean diurnal?
Diurnal,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even know the word.
Yeah, but no, but, you got it right.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. You don't know the word. I know the word. I can't pronounce it. Here's the problem with San Jose. 1A, you're going to get the state tax. California, all those lefties with all their state taxes.
You're up there with Ontario.
Yeah. But San Jose is a really well-run organization. But Brent Burns, Pavelski, all over 30.
Joe Thornton.
Thornton, 38. Logan Couture, 29. So it's not like he's going to be, there's not another level there. It's a damn good level. So most of your, I mean, beyond like a Thomas Hurdle's, like 24, Vander Kane's 26, most of your guys are over 30 years old. So in terms of winning, unless you think you can win it all next year, long-term prospects, San Jose, I knock them down.
It's heresy to say it, but the truth is I would pick Tampa Bay as well. I think you're right on that one on most counts. The question then becomes, if it's not Toronto, how crushing is that?
Yeah.
I mean, you've already got Austin Matthews, got Mitch Marner, you've got William Nylander, you've got Morgan Riley. Mm-hmm. You've got some really great players that are going to be around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Toronto's got a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup in 5 years. Tampa's got a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup over the next 2 years. That is my wildly oversimplification. And when people go, well, Toronto's in cap trouble, guess there's also going to be in cap trouble. Tampa, because Kucherov is just... That contract is next one. You can almost double the amount of money it's going to make.
They're not even in win now mode. They're in win yesterday mode.
Yeah.
Now they're just trying to like run out the clock.
Yeah.
Before it all implodes, the building's crumbling around their ears, Maddie.
Yeah.
It's the final scene in the Towering Inferno. Can you just get out before the whole thing crumbles?
Yeah.
I haven't really thought this through intensely, but this is more of a gut feeling. I wonder if the Leafs would be better off instead of paying Tavares a ton of money and you have that incredible 1-2-3 punch with him and Kadri and Matthews down the middle. What if you were to get like a Chris Tanev and still have money left over to get another depth another good defenseman and another, you know, third or fourth line center?
That's great. It's fantastic.
Like which one ultimately would help you win more? The great player or 2 or 3 really good players at important positions?
I don't have a good answer for that.
I don't have one either.
I don't get an answer, but here's the great thing with the Leafs. They don't need Tavares.
No.
They went from 69 points to 95 points to 105 points. Their best players are going to get better. All you need is the passage of time. Even losing JVR and Bozak, the team's going to get better, even with just the most bare minimum of moves in free agency. And also, Gordon Miller tweeted this out. Over the last 2 years, Crosby and Malkin are number one for center scoring among 1-2 centers. Well, number two is the Leafs with Matthews and Kadri, and that's with Matthews missing 20 games.
That's why I kind of feel like maybe...
It's not desperate. There's no like, oh, we got to get this done.
If they need a star, they need a star in defense.
Of course.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, you'd love to see some young, budding star, you know, pluck one out of Nashville or grab one out of Carolina.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not that upset about this. Although what I find interesting about the Tavares mania is... I think it's different than Stamkos mania. Stamkos mania, even though they're so similar in so many ways,
yeah.
They play center, they score, they have local ties.
Yep.
But the Stamkos thing was almost like, it was like a remnant of a past age where you just wanted somebody big to like
yeah.
you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There was much more of a desperation. And bringing in Stamkos felt like that helps to validate the Maple Leafs. There's none of it.
Yeah, the Leafs don't need to be validated at this point.
Here's the difference. Stamkos, come on in. You're going to be the biggest star in Toronto. Tavares, come in. You're not even the best center on the team, mm-hmm. which it puts the Maple Leafs in a great position about where they are right now. Oh, yeah, it's very, very different.
The Dallas suggestion is interesting, too, just because him and Tyler Seguin,
yeah,
that'd be pretty devastating, too. Wherever he goes, it's weird, though, right? Because wherever he goes, nobody's saying, okay, John Tavares, go somewhere where you can finally take over the team.
Yeah.
Because he has that in New York.
He's got that in New York.
If he wants that, he'll stay in New York.
Yep.
Everywhere else is, where can you go and be the greatest Robin in the league?
Yeah. Oh, well, he might be the Batman in San Jose.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Actually, I take that back. He is Batman in San Jose. Yeah,
but no. But your point's a good one. You're right. It's very different. If Tavares went to Tampa, would there be a you're Kevin Duranting where, wait a minute, you, and it's not the same because Durant was a top three player and he went to a team that set a record for wins in the NBA because Durant is lazy. But we don't need to get into that because we all agree 100%. But if John Tavares went to Tampa, he's going to the team that was the number one team in the East, would there be any sort of blowback from gas bags like me?
There probably should be, considering how much you ripped Kevin Durant for doing this.
And I'll continue to do it.
I think that it's less...
Obviously different sports because one doesn't
I was
going to
say it's less because you just
don't have
the same amount of game time.
But would this be the first time would there be hints of that sort of out there in the media fandom world?
I'm kind of excited by the prospect of building a super team. Like, hockey players just don't... Like, when you even think back to the Chicago Blackhawks, Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa, getting Marian Hossa turned it into a dynasty. You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
Marian Hossa was the most underrated player on that team, and he helped them to become a dynasty. That's true. You know what's not sexy? Mm. That.
Yeah, I know.
As opposed to John Tavares spurn the entire league so we could go and create an evil empire in Tampa Bay. Moo-ha-ha-ha. I kind of like where you're going with this, Matt.
See, I would like it. You know why? Because this would be the only one. It'd be new. In the NBA, we've had this story before, and it's a bigger bummer because you could have a super team, but then Halak is great, and then suddenly you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It doesn't have the same impact. Ottawa wasn't a super team, and they got the double overtime of Game 7 2 years ago.
I thought that Tampa would win last year.
I
thought they were the best team in hockey. I think they're the best team in hockey going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you throw Tavares on there.
Right. You know what? I kind of like the cojones of a Steve Yzerman just to say, yeah, we have this unbelievable team, but I would trade it all in, Matt,
for
just a little more. There you go.
Yeah.
So there's that. I wanted to play a game with you called Rank 'em.
Okay.
This is a way we can talk free agency without necessarily getting burned on where players are going.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rank 'em. Rivals for the Leafs over the next 5 years. Rank these 1, 2, and 3. New York Islanders, Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators.
Number three is Ottawa because they're just a joke. Two is the Islanders because Lamoriello's there. You got Barry Trotz, who's a good coach. Even if you lost Tavares, Anders Lee, Matt Barzal, at least, you know, there's talent.
They got good young players.
Yeah, and number one is Buffalo, because Toronto usually is lousy there. Buffalo hates the fact that it becomes a Toronto place. At least they're going to get the number one pick this year, and they got Jack Eichel. So I'm going to go number one is Buffalo, two the Islanders, and three is the Ottawa Melnicks.
I actually agree with you. Yeah. I'm 100% behind you on this one. Because Ottawa is about to go through a real ugly period, even if they think they're
to go through this ugly period that they've been in for a year.
By the way, that decision to not flip the pick over to Colorado this year might wind up being a Brooklyn Nets-esque botch job.
Oh, yeah.
If, in fact, they lose Jack Hughes and they wind up the worst team in hockey.
And they're going to lose Matt Duchene, who's going to leave, and they're not going to have a first-round pick. They are. They're Brooklyn. Right now,
they're Brooklyn.
What Brooklyn did for the Boston Celtics... You know, everybody right now, go raid Ottawa. Just go get them. You want to get better, cozy up with Eugene Melnick. And they're a disaster.
The New York Islanders have that chance because, I don't know, let's just assume Tavares stays. Lou Lamoriello's there.
Yep.
And they're going to be good.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as Buffalo. No. I still feel like Buffalo was on the cusp. Like, they could be really good really soon.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed, because you'd love to have a rival
down
the QEW.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Geographical proximity, the whole Babcock scenario where he spurned them to come to Toronto.
Bitter Buffalo writers during pressers, you know, asking so passive-aggressive questions to Babcock. It's all that.
So true. They got a Nylander. We got a Nylander.
Yeah, our and Nylander's now better than your Nylander.
Now they got Rasmus Dahlin, who's...
We'll see.
He's looking good.
By the way, let's talk one thing about Rasmus Dahlin. If you ever want to know just one of the differences between the NHL and the NBA,
mm-hmm.
when he was drafted and you saw him,
mm-hmm.
he looks like, hey, guys, wait up for me.
He looks like the guy who brings you your pizza.
Yeah. Like, he looks like a 14-year-old wood sprite. Like, he just, or an elf. You know, just the way he looks. He's very diminutive and very youthful. And you're like, that's the number one overall pick? You know, I remember Keyshawn Johnson being the number one overall pick. And this isn't just a racial thing. Like, white offensive linemen or Ben Roethlisberger or just all these big tree trunks of human beings. And then there's Rasmus. When your first question is, I think I could do more push-ups than that dude. And that's the guy.
And if it was Sam Bennett, you could do more push-ups at the draft
or
than he did.
Or pull-ups or whatever it is. Yeah. And it was so funny seeing him get drafted. But... to your overall point, yeah, Buffalo could be really good very soon.
Remember being on the draft floor in Pittsburgh, and the only time I was blown away by the size of someone was Zegras Gergensens,
mm-hmm.
who stood next to me, and I remembered thinking, I hope he's not mad.
Yeah.
I don't generally get intimidated by 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
He was a little frightening.
Yeah.
The Buffalo thing is just, and as you rightly point out, Toronto's always played so poorly there mm-hmm. that you've got, even though the two teams have been generally bad at the same time, generally bad.
Yeah.
Buffalo's been a thorn in the side for so long. Montreal and Ottawa are down.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for some new rivals.
Yeah.
And, you know, the New York Islanders, if you think back to like those Pat Quinn teams, I mean, there's some pretty ugly series against. I know it's a long time. There's a whole generation that has no recollection of that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was bloody that first round against the Islanders.
Yes, it was.
Darcy Tucker, just, you know, not Alfredson. I'm trying to remember his name. Doesn't matter now. Anyway, the point is, it was a bloodbath.
Yep. Yep.
No, okay, so how about my next one here?
Yep.
Where does Erik Karlsson play next year? Vegas? Bless you.
Thank you.
Tampa Bay? Ottawa Senators?
Oh.
Let's assume that Tavares doesn't go to Tampa Bay. They're obviously in a mood to upgrade. There was plenty of talk at the trade deadline that could happen.
I'm going to go Vegas first. They've got the money, picks, prospects, and you want to get as far away from Ottawa and the stink of Ottawa as possible. Vegas feels like it. So I'll go Vegas first. There's no way he's going to Tampa. They got other, you know, Hedman's there. So I'll go Ottawa second, Tampa third.
I got exactly the same order as you.
Yes.
All these rumors
like the
that
match
you. I know, seriously. I feel like we're winning a dating game here or something.
Get out of here, Sandra.
Hey, how come Tinder doesn't have a game show on TV? Or do they?
Oh, they will. Wait, patent.
Right, because there's a Shazam game. Have you seen that one where you got to beat the app to figure? It's like Name That Tune.
Okay.
But instead of calling it Name That Tune, it's like Beat Shazam or something like that.
Should be a Tinder
There's no dating app game.
Yeah, look, get Chuck Worley. I think he's still alive. I'll see me.
They never die.
They never die.
Get game them show out guys never die.
No, get them out there and then do the Tinder dating game.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Thank you. Oh, so anyway, with all these rumors that are floating around Eugene Melnyk, and now is the team going to get sold? The feeling, I don't think he's ever going to sell that team unless Gary Bettman's going to have to go there, and he's going to have like the entire cast of The Sopranos behind him, and they're going to have to quote unquote buy him out.
Well, Bob, of course that's going to happen because, as you know, Gary's a Hall of Famer. That's what Hall of Famers do. They get things done.
Shall we sidebar this?
You want a sidebar to that?
Sure. What's he thinking? What's he thinking? He belongs there.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does.
He does not.
He does not. He built the game. And the builders, look, it went from $400 million valuation to a $4.5 billion valuation over the course of his tenure. And he basically, look, a lot of times when people are builders, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're good for the game. It just means they made the owners richer,
okay,
which he did.
Okay. What am I holding here, Bob?
You're holding my child's bath toy, and it's a turtle.
This is going to be a slight exaggeration for clarity of my point.
Okay.
This purple
and give it a shake next to the mic so people can hear. Yep, that's the rattling bath toy.
Blue and red.
She's probably three when she played with that.
Yeah, blue and red.
Why is it on my dining room table?
If this was the commissioner of the NHL, every franchise would have gone up probably almost as much in value because... And by the way, this is not just about Bettman. This is not personal against Bettman. This is my feelings about modern day commissioners. So I want to say that on the front end. I'm very honest about my biases, lazy Kevin Durant. The reason why the franchises go up in value is because of TV dollars. Why is there always more money for TV from advertisers? Because of PVRs, because there's fewer and fewer places where advertisers know there's going to be eyes watching the product while it's on live. And that more than anything else. Every team in every sport in North America over the last 25 years has gone up, no matter who the commissioner was, no matter what was going on in the economy. I will not give Gary Bettman credit for there being more teams. Guess what? 25 years ago, there was no Raptors and there was no Jacksonville Jaguars or Carolina Panthers. So I will not give credit for that. I give the, you know, if you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, you've got to do something extraordinary, something different. All I know is three lockouts, no players in this last Olympics. It still is thought of as a niche sport. And when you ask people, where is the game on what channel? People are like, oh, they don't know. I'm not saying Bettman's a disaster. Everyone has made money. But this turtle, if it was commissioner, the PVR would still have been created and we still would have seen franchises go up. Goodbye, turtle.
Do you think people would boo the turtle at the draft?
No, they would love the turtle.
How do you boo a turtle?
This, hey, look, everyone. It's CeCe's bathtub toy, the turtle. They'd be like, yay, the turtle is here.
So maybe at the Las Vegas, like in Vegas next year at the NHL Awards, we just have the turtle host.
Yeah. It would have more personality than Gary. That's my thoughts on Bettman, why I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, because I can't think of the extraordinary things he did.
I understand, but longevity also counts, and he stayed in that job for a long time. And maybe for that reason alone, he's like the Jim Thome going to the MLB Hall of Fame. You stick around long enough, eventually you hit 600 home runs.
So when
did you have a single great season? No, but you had a lot of good ones.
All right, so when is... And I forget the name of it, the award at the Oscars for Lifetime Achievement.
The Irving Thalberg Award.
Thank you. Good on you. When's Rob Schneider getting his? He's still around. He still does movies every now and then. Hell, he's got a TV show.
And to your point, some of the NHL playoffs were straight to video.
Okay,
how about this then?
Okay.
Gary Bettman, even though I think he belongs, you don't think he belongs, that's fine. Or at least you're critical of it.
Yeah.
It's better than Gil Stein. Gil Stein was the commissioner for 1 year and was nominated to be part of the Hall of Fame. And it was always suggested that it was part of a buyout package so that he could get lost and they could bring in Gary.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is true, Bob. That's what I like to call... damning with faint praise.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right, so let's get back to it. Or other stupid things. Do you want to make this? I got one more rankum, but it
Do
may
it.
Not work.
Well,
now we know that LeBron is a free agent now.
Yeah.
So rank these teams: Cleveland, L.A., anywhere else for where LeBron plays next year.
Okay. Where he goes, if it's not Cleveland and L.A., Philadelphia.
Could be Philly. They have cap room.
Mm-hmm. Houston Rockets.
Can't be Houston, probably, because they would probably have needed to do a sign and trade to get around some of their cap issues.
And then the one I scream all the time about, and there is bias. You want to do the greatest act in the history of the NBA?
Join the Warriors?
No. God, no. No, something actually difficult, unlike Kevin Durant. Go to New York. Mm-hmm. Bring a championship to a city. The last time they did that was either 70 or 71, you know, with Clyde Frazier, you know, and do it then.
Yeah, Walt Frazier.
Walt Frazier, excuse me, Clyde Frazier. That to me, and it's not going to happen. I think it's Cleveland, L.A. You give Philly a little bit of a chance, and I don't know what the dollars are in Houston, but at least Houston pushed Golden State to a game seven.
There's a whole generation of basketball fan that has no idea how awesome the Knicks fans are.
Yep.
Because they've been bad for so long.
Yep.
But going back to the Ewing days and the Pat Riley wars and Miami, and just there were so many Allen Houston who...
That
was
great
one
run in 99 when they got to the finals.
And that team was so animated. Like, you think that L.A. or Golden State or Miami or any of these places are the home of the stars? No way. The New York Knicks fans, the celebs and otherwise, were the most fun to watch.
LeBron putting up a 50 in a New York Knicks uniform at MSG, and he gets the first half of the year to make it his team. And then Porzingis, when healthy, is a guy that you could look at and go, that's an MVP. If he's healthy, he represents maybe the most talented player LeBron would ever play with.
I'll be frank. I don't know enough of their cap situation / what their entanglement is.
Let's assume it's horrible because it's James Dolan and the Knicks. Let's just assume it's horrible.
I kind of feel like they probably
can't
make the moves that would make it attractive to him.
Is Landry still getting paid?
I think he's getting paid. I think so. I kind of feel like it's going to be Cleveland, just because L.A. has to pull off something big in order to convince them to go.
Yep.
I think they could, but they've got to get either Kawhi or Paul George to go.
Yeah.
And so two things have to happen. Now, let's not forget, the person who orchestrated the Miami deal was Pat Riley.
Yes.
Who's one of the greatest executives and basketball minds in the history of the game.
Yep.
Is Magic and Rob Pelinka that? We'll find out.
I'm going to bet no.
You'd figure, like, staying in Cleveland, there are reasons to leave, most of them being the team's not very good, but they have made the finals every time he's been there.
Yes, they have.
They got the eighth pick coming in. You know, we'll see how this Colin Sexton kid is. Anyway, the point is this. Prove to me why I should leave Cleveland is, I think, the approach every team has. And LeBron has shown he's willing to listen.
Yeah.
But prove to me why I should leave this situation, which I already dominate.
If LA, well, it's all about first, I think Cleveland sits there, or LeBron sits there and see what happens with Kawhi and Paul George. I think he waits. And if they both go to LA, it's a done deal. Because even if Jimmy Sexton wins Rookie of the Year.
Colin
Sexton. Who's Jimmy Sexton? I think that was a cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 90s. Oh, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm not right about that. I don't want that info still in my head. Because you're not winning with the number 8 pick, the point guard from like Alabama or wherever he was, and Kevin Love. You ain't beating Golden State. If the idea is to win a title, you got to go with Kawhi and Paul George. If the idea is lifestyle and family, and if this family, but I hear his family loves L.A. I can't see him going back to Cleveland because there is nowhere close to the parts there. Nowhere close.
There's just one thing, though. Mm. If he goes back to Cleveland, even as good as Boston's going to be next year, they're still at least the second most likely team to make the final. If he goes to Los Angeles, now there are a few teams.
Yep.
And a resurgent, the Pelicans is going to be tough to play.
Yep.
The Jazz are really becoming a much better team.
Yeah.
It's just tougher.
It is tougher.
It's just tougher. You got Absolutely. Houston, Golden State, and a bunch of other teams that are actually quite good.
Yep. Oh, no. It's the number one argument why he stays in Cleveland, because Philly might say thanks, but no thanks. We're developing something here, which I know sounds insane. Wherever LeBron goes, here's what I hope for. I hope it's a 4-year deal. Because I want to see at least one more time where LeBron is on a team where the team has a chance to least somewhat organically grow a team around him versus 1 year. When you know you only, when a team knows you're only there for 1 year, it means other free agents ain't coming there because they what big time free agents want is stability. And 1 year LeBron is chaos.
LeBron's like the NBA version of a pop-up shop.
Yeah.
He comes in, you get the best sneakers you can get.
Yeah.
You line up all night to get them.
Yep.
You go out. Mm-hmm. You flip them on the open market for twice the amount of money.
Yep.
And like Kaiser Soze, it's gone.
Oh, yeah. 100%. That's exactly what it is.
By the way, speaking of pop-up shops and all that kind of stuff, any interest in the new Drake record?
No. Scorpion?
Yeah.
No. But I'm not the music guy.
Yeah. Matt Devlin ruined it for me with that stupid Scorpion medallion stuff during the Raptors playoff run.
Oh.
And he kept putting on the Scorpion medallion. And what do you call him? Mr. Scorpion?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. It's like... Donald Trump Jr. used the term lit
in a
tweet.
Well, that's the end of that.
So then someone tweeted out, dear black people, we can no longer, this is a eulogy for the use of the term lit. I heard it, I saw it on Twitter.
Like we used to do on the old radio show, we should get the St. James Infirmary music and just have the jazz funeral
for
the word lit.
Yeah, it's done. So, yeah, no, I don't really for the Drake album, but again, you know, I'm excited for the next Arcade Fire concert in July. So I'm not the guy for that.
Shall we do? Do you want to do one of your crazy non-sports topics, or do you want to do a promo here? What do you want to do?
Oh, I want to do both. But before we get to, we got ketchup on eggs.
Yep.
We got the proper way to eat pie. We got Bob's bathroom. We've got Mr. Rogers. But before that, actually, speaking of Mr. Rogers, you know what you liked about Mr. Rogers?
What'd you like about Mr. Rogers, Matt?
Mr. Rogers, filled with empathy. A nice guy. Family guy. You felt like you could trust him. Who does Mr. Rogers remind me of? Boop, boop, boop. Oh, that's right. Our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. Because Jeff Pollock, he's not a big city lawyer. No, he's not going to forget you because all he's looking after is the mighty buck. No. Jeff Pollock cares about you. I know he cares about me. We talk all the time. Help me with my lawyer, with my will, eventually with Bob's. And this guy will handle your litigation, states, trusts, corporate, commercial, real estate law, everything. It's a small law firm that takes you seriously and treats you like a friend. If you want to get a hold of him, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. And don't forget about his wife. You can get it epollock.com. She handles all the accounting stuff. It's one-stop shop. So if you need a friend in your legal neighborhood, think about Jeff Pollock.
Nice. You switched it up a little bit there. I always like the idea of saying my lawyer.
I know.
Makes me feel important.
It like really I got a lawyer. Does. Yeah.
There are three things I want in this life to prove to myself
that
I've made a success
of
things. I want a lawyer on retainer.
Yep.
A doctor on retainer.
Yep.
And a driver on retainer.
Ooh.
Now, I have the last one.
Yes, you do. Your wife.
Sandra, right.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to push back on this. The driver on retainer, 100% agree. But doctor on retainer, you write in one way it says you're powerful. But it also says, am I on the edge of death's door?
Aren't we all?
Moving on. And... talking that. The bleep out of here.
Not me.
God damn it. And then lawyer on retainer says I'm Charlie Sheen. You know, like there's always danger in my life.
Okay, so how about this? Instead of doctor on retainer, I want the president of the United States as doctor.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a president have a cold?
No.
They never have the sniffles.
Yeah.
What the hell do they give these people?
Yeah.
This is like... You know that? Do you ever get that fizzy vitamin C thing that you pop into glasses? You know,
I see it
up like what
I
is
see it all the time. No,
it's called like Vita C or something.
I don't
something.
Get sick, so I don't say any of that stuff.
Yeah, you never do get sick.
Yeah.
Do you have the lawyer? Or do you have the doctor?
I do not.
Doctor?
I do not. No, I don't get sick.
Okay, explain to me how.
Yeah.
Both you and the president never get sick because we live in a world of bacteria and viruses.
Can I be compared? I don't have to be compared to the current president, right? Can I be compared to Brock? Yeah, or hell, sure. I'll take a Bush, a Clinton, you know, I'll take a Carter.
Anybody?
I'll go all the way back.
Gerald Ford?
I'd take a Nixon for
being sick. Woodrow Wilson was pretty shit.
Yeah, I heard he wasn't the best. I always treat it to Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like I'm getting sick, I crush it with my mind vice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really about it. You mentioned, by the way, about like feeling important, like driver on retainer, lawyer on retainer. There's one thing you have that I don't have.
What's that?
And we both have our lawyer, which is cool, Jeff Pollock.
I cry in the shower a lot.
No. You have projects. Like, you're doing work with George Strombopoulos.
Strombopoulos.
And sometimes I ask what's going on. Like, oh, I can't talk about it right now.
Right.
I've never in my life worked on anything where I'm like, my friends are like, so what's going on with you and CTV or CBC or Telefilm or whatever? I'm like, yeah, I can't really. I got a project going on right now. Can't really talk about it. It's only a couple weeks, but it's pretty big. I've never had that.
You know, there are two kinds of people who can't talk about their business.
Yeah.
People who have very, very important things about to happen and people who got nothing on the go.
Mm.
I'm going to let you take one guess why I can't talk about my projects.
Oh, boy, I hope it's big projects on the go.
Me too, Matthew. Me too. Let's talk about ketchup and eggs. It feels like, I don't know why, but it feels like a perfectly reasonable place to go next.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I was over at my friend's place who listens to the podcast. Shout out to Dave Peary and his wife, Renee.
Hi, Dave.
And having breakfast. I spent the night. They live in Oakville. I had some drinks. I'm not driving. I'm not taking the go. So we were having eggs the next morning, and Dave started to put ketchup on his eggs. Just not on top, not like a big mountain of it like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters. And his wife.
On his eggs or next to his eggs?
Next to the eggs.
Okay.
And he's like, and he said preemptively, I know I'm going to get shamed for this, talking to his wife. And she, Renee, has got like a lot of family from a Quebec and more European sort of roots.
Snobs.
So she ketchup shamed him. And it got me thinking, it's one of those things. You bring it up to anyone, like Bruce Arthur, who's a total condiment snob, was like, yeah, you don't put ketchup on eggs. Why do we shame the ketchup on egg people?
Okay, there's a lot of layers to this. So
let me just brought it up.
Yeah, let me dive in and then we'll take it
wherever it goes.
Yeah, wherever it goes. I think part of it depends on what kind of eggs you're serving.
Yeah.
Because ketchup on scrambled eggs isn't so bad, but ketchup on fried eggs or boiled eggs doesn't make any sense. Have you ever seen anyone put ketchup on a boiled egg? You put mayo on a boiled egg.
I've seen ketchup used with every type of egg.
Eggs and condiments are bizarre. Mm-hmm. So why is it that you make deviled eggs with mayonnaise, but you would never put mayonnaise on like scrambled eggs?
Mm. I don't know.
A deviled egg is just simply a little more whipped.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
I've never seen anyone do that. Also, fried eggs seem to have a totally different thing. Like, people often put hot sauce on fried eggs, but you don't really put ketchup, and you would never put mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still an egg. Like, why is it every single way you deliver the breakfast, the condiment changes?
I think there's a condiment elitism. Like, if I have my egg this way, these are the cool people, acceptable product. And the thing is, like first off, hot sauce, no one again. Ooh, you know what hot sauce is?
Hmm.
Hot sauce to condiments is Iggy Pop to music. No, if you say you like Iggy Pop, no one goes, Iggy Pop, that guy stinks. You know, because Iggy Pop's got cool guy status.
It's true.
Same thing with hot sauce.
True.
No one ever goes, hot sauce, what are you, a child? Yet ketchup is always like, you're putting on children's condiments on your eggs. So you never get shamed with hot sauce. You get shamed with ketchup.
I think the big issue, part of it is, do you put the ketchup on the egg itself or do you put it next to?
Yeah.
Putting it on seems a little more déclassé than next to.
True.
Why, I can't explain.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be that.
Yeah, if you...
Well, that's the thing. It's also the sound of the ketchup bottle. Right? Like, it's not a... Science hasn't really fixed that problem yet.
No. The farty sound.
That's
from the
worst. Yeah. And it's really bad when you're in polite company.
Yeah.
And you do that and everyone is like trying to pretend it didn't happen.
You could be the CEO of the most famous company, but if you take the ketchup.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Moneybags. Yeah. I run Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, but you go. But the same thing, like you could be. You could be George Clooney right after he did Out of Sight. And, you know, and you could be accepting your Cool Guy of the Year award. But if you take ketchup and then suddenly you're Rob Schneider. That is a part of the shaming, is you're right. The ketchup device.
Yeah. I think that one of the reasons why, and I don't subscribe to this, but one of the reasons why, it goes back to an old psychiatrist's study. They're testing... different kids. And kids who are able to defer pleasure, they determined later in life actually had happier, more successful careers. Like, so what they would do is they would put like ice cream in front of kids and then they would tell some, okay, wait 5 minutes and then you can have it.
Yeah.
I'm making up the ice cream, but whatever, like a treat. And the kids who could wait the 5 minutes proved themselves later in life to be more successful than the kids who couldn't wait the 5 minutes.
Huh. Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
Discipline and realization of consequences of actions. If you have that early on, that can only help you later 100%. In life.
So in the same way with the ketchup and the egg, it just looks like you're really excessive. Mm-hmm. Like you can't contain or restrain yourself. When you take the ketchup and you...
Yeah.
All over your eggs, right?
Yeah.
You put a little next to it, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's a thoughtful, measured approach to putting a condiment on a piece of food. But you drench it in something.
Yeah.
And people go, It's kind of like you watch kids when they eat ice cream, and you just go, hey, why don't you have some chocolate sauce?
Yeah.
And there is no ice cream after that.
No.
There is only chocolate sauce.
The Black Sea is what it is.
And
yeah.
then it melts, and there's like one lonely little white streak of vanilla ice cream in a sea of chocolate sauce.
It's absolutely glorious. But
right.
Yeah, my message to everyone, listen, I get it. Ketchup, it's a little bit more for the kids. And I know it's not as cool as your sriracha sauce or whatever.
Sriracha.
But at the same point, leave people alone if they want to have ketchup.
Do you know what's the best solution? And I don't really turn to the Americas for this very often, the Americans, but salsa. Like ketchup's not super popular in the United States. Salsa is bigger. And salsa is cool. You want to talk about street cred.
Oh, yeah.
I put salsa next to my scrambled eggs. I feel like I'm at a hotel.
Oh, you're also a cool guy. Like, yeah.
Now you're having huevos divorciados.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it goes back to it. All these other condiments, you get a pass. Ketchup comes out there. Everyone is giving you the stink eye.
For the next pod, I'm going to try to put a little mayonnaise on my scrambled eggs.
Okay.
Just to see, does it work? Oh, my wife's home. Is she leaving?
No. She was turning the fan off.
Right.
The kitchen fan was
on. Oh, really? Do you think that we could have heard that on the pod?
Well, you know, we're only 41 minutes in, so onwards and upwards at this point.
And accepting their award for best tech sound editing.
Don't worry, Bob. I can edit that out. No, I can't. No. I don't have that sort of intelligence. Okay, so Sandra, any other thoughts on ketchup before I want to talk about your bathroom?
Okay, I got also a ..
Ooh.
To do. Yep. And I do want to talk a bit about Ricky Ray.
Okay.
We'll ordinarily, we don't talk to Argos, but considering that one of the greatest quarterbacks in CFL history is probably done.
Yeah.
And you are CFL.ca's Matt Cause.
CFL.ca's own Matt Cause. My last article was about the sounds and sights and everything going on because I was at that Argo game.
Was the sound of a ketchup bottle expelling ketchup?
It wasn't. A lot of ribs and wings. So I was in the president's box. Shout out to
the president's box.
Yeah. It was the Landsbergs, me, a couple people from the TSN 1050.
La-dee-daw.
Oh, it was great. But remember, a CFL president's box, not the same as, like, say, a Raptor, you know, but it's still great. It's still really good. But just a quick shout out to people who don't know, when I come here and I have to use the bathroom, Bob always says use the upstairs one because the one down in the basement, off in the basement, a bit of a mess or whatever, but it's a basement, you got a kid. But you get nervous because I will sometimes shame you. Usually because.
Sometimes. You mean like when your mouth opens?
Yes. Like, because I don't know, maybe there's. No towels, but there's winter tires in the tub. I mean, you know, Bob, you can...
For example. Just to make up a crazy case study off the top of my head.
But this time, Bob, shout out to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
There was towels in the acceptable spot. The bathroom or the tub was almost completely empty, just a magazine in there. But overall, and this is so condescending, I'm giving you a passing grade for the basement bathroom.
Thank you. Is this like when you go to the restaurant and don't they have like an interim pass fail thing? Like you get the green if you pass, you get the red if you're shut down. But isn't there like a yellow, like the wait sign?
You don't ever want any yellow coloring in a bathroom. So I wouldn't.
Good point.
I wouldn't have that color anywhere. And so a pass to the bathroom.
So we'll wrap up with ice cream.
Yeah.
Let me do dot.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's a bunch here. Yeah. Okay. I throw out sentences to Matt. He decides which ones he wants to discuss.
Yeah.
School is over. I'm already tired. I know the Leafs can't afford JVR, but it'd be nice if he landed in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think Edgar Wright getting turfed from Ant-Man was the worst thing ever, but now I think it might be Donald Glover getting bounced from an animated version of a Deadpool cartoon.
Oh.
And finally, does anybody remember laughter?
We're not going to do the Led Zeppelin one. You know what?
Actually, that was not actually about... that one is actually about summer comedy and how summer comedies are dead.
You're right.
When was the last time you got excited because there was a big comedy coming out and you couldn't wait to see it? 5 years? Seven years?
Oh, my God. Let's see. I mean, you know, back Bridesmaids certainly had it. Yeah, good point.
I feel like I should be excited to see Tag. It's a great idea.
Yep.
It's got a lot of people in it I like.
Yep.
But I'm like you right now. You're wincing like, you know, like maybe I'd see it on a plane.
Yeah. Like
in a year.
You know what? I need validation from people I trust before I go to see Tag.
I think the last comedy I was excited to go see was the Ghostbusters reboot.
That was largely
just out of curiosity.
Of course. Yeah. Like, well, it's like super talented people. The directors, the writers behind it, really talented. And who doesn't love Ghostbusters? And then at the end of it, I'm like, nuts. Not that good.
And the weird thing is, like, on TV, it's a golden era of comedy, but none of the comedies are really that funny. Like Barry with Bill Hader, people love it. But, you know, it's not strictly a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, you know, to mention Donald Glover again. Like, that's a great show. Yeah. But there are barely any laughs. Like, never mind laugh per minute.
Yeah.
There's, you know, laugh per segment.
Mm-hmm.
Even Master of None isn't hilarious. I mean, Aziz Ansari is a very funny guy, but it's not intended. Like, it's not a 30 Rock joke machine.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, the joke machines are all animated, like Rick and Morty or BoJack. Like, where you get the joke machines.
Yeah, where's the summer comedy?
Well, Sandra works in comedy. Maybe we should put her on and discuss it. Yeah, where's the summer comedy?
She's
how come there are
head.
No summer comedy funny movies, honey?
Yeah, Sandra, what are you doing?
There's some really great TV shows, though, i.e. Working Moms, Kim's Convenience.
Yep, all good stuff.
Hilarious. Again, go check out Crawford on CBC Now.
Yeah. Kim's Convenience with my neighbor, Sujith. So go check that out.
Oh, that's the dude who's always in the shop. He's one of the customers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
that guy's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was going to do, because, by the way, great point about the comedies. There's none. There's none right now. There's none I'm excited about. Ant-Man might be the funniest movie this summer.
You're probably right. You know, maybe the only way you can get a comedy now is to almost like hide it in an action movie.
Funniest movie this summer? Deadpool 2.
Haven't seen it yet. Was
really
it funny?
Yeah.
But once really again, funny. you're hiding it in an action.
You're hiding it in action. It's like feeding the dog a pill. You got to put the pill into
in the
meat. Yeah.
You and I need to write a great summer comedy. I even have a concept.
Okay. What is it?
Okay. So my concept is there's this guy who goes on a blind date.
Okay. I like it.
Right. And the blind date, it turns out that the woman is running from, she's stolen a whole bunch of money from her mobster boyfriend.
Yep.
And so she's got the cops chasing on one side and the crime syndicate chasing on the other side.
Yep.
And they've got to get to Mexico in order to survive.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's their first date.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called Stuck in the Middle with You.
Stuck. Oh, we already know the soundtrack is already done.
What do you think, pal?
All right. Let's see.
Could be a good date movie.
Yep.
We write a couple like off-color jokes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're trying to get in like, oh. You know, there's going to be so many jokes about the wall and everything there.
Ooh, topical.
Very topical. Yep. I like it.
Thank you. All right. Well, how much time do we have left in the pod?
Ooh, we have about, we got about like 8 minutes left in the pod. Okay. We'll do one more ..
Okay.
And you know what? I was going to do JVR, but no, we're going to move on to Last Day of School. I'll just say this about JVR. Don't overpay for him. Anyone overpays for him, remember, he's probably not getting 36 goals next year, and he's a year older, and he's not great defensively. Buyer beware. Love JVR, love what he's done, and deserves to get paid a lot of money. Just be careful.
I find it hard to root for teams in the Eastern Conference, but I like what New Jersey's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the better they do, the worse Edmonton feels. I shouldn't be rooting against Edmonton. They do have Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
He is the best player in the game.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks that he's got this Stockholm syndrome and he's stuck there.
Yeah, like every other NHL player stuck where they are.
So true. God, I'm so tired.
So speaking of tired, how tired of you? Because right now I see on the couch your lovely daughter. And thank you very much, Charlotte. She drew, and I took a photo of it. I'll put it up on my Instagram account. The Macko and Cause podcast. So school is done. And she's not happy. She wants to be back in school, which is very commendable for her. I feel I had a different reaction.
Charlotte, do you want to come talk to Matt on the podcast?
Because, Charlotte, I got to tell you right now, I myself had a very different reaction when school was over. I was not as sad as you. I seemed to, I enjoyed it. So
she's eating a pizza bun wrapped up in a blanket, wearing a Spider-Man shirt. Okay, honey, Matt's going to ask you some questions.
So, Charlotte, are you sad that school's done?
Yes.
How come?
because my teacher's really nice and they like, I'm going to miss all my friends because most of my friends are going to be in the other class.
Oh, really? Now, yes. Will you be able to see any of your friends in the summer or do they live far away?
One of them is my neighbor, but the rest are kind of far and really far.
Yeah, and your dad can't drive you to see your friends, can he?
He can't because he doesn't have his license.
That is true. He doesn't have his license. What was your favorite class in school?
My favorite class was science and learning about animals and states of matter.
Oh, my God. You're so much smarter than I ever was. My favorite class was never science. It was never any of the ones where it felt like there was a real practical application. Good for you.
Thanks. Which one was your favorite class?
My favorite class was I loved anything that involved reading. And then as I got a little bit older, I liked history and I liked theater. This might shock you, but I always like to perform for people.
Cool. Yeah. I already get it because you're performing in front of people on the podcast.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think you should eventually do theater. You would be great in theater.
I do theater.
I bet.
Okay, Charlotte, one more question, then Dad has to get back to work. What do you call Dad's stomach?
I'm not saying.
Thank you, dear.
You know, your dad, who'd be great on American Ninja Warrior, woo, he would do well.
You're not.
I love that honesty. Speaking about honesty, you know what honestly bothers me, Bob?
What's that?
When I try to buy sporting tickets or go to a concert, and I've got my tickets purchased, and they're in American dollars. Womp, womp. And I feel bad using womp womp. So what you really need to do is go to Seat Giant. They're our Canadian partner for all your concert tickets, sporting events, everything else, and you get them in Canadian dollars. There is the final ticket price is what you pay. No more exchange fees, bank fees, or anything. Go to seatgiant.ca and use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You will get a discount. We get a bit of the money. It is win-win. And let me tell you, Bob's going to need that money because his daughter is no longer in school. And so he's going to have to figure out ways to entertain her. And she's a very entertaining gal. And sometimes that can cost a pretty penny.
Hey, we're going to get a big present today for her.
Ooh.
A graduation present.
Oh.
After she visits her friend, we're going to go downtown. We're going to go to her first record shop and she's going to buy her first LP record.
Oh, that's
she's
so
she's getting a
awesome.
Record on vinyl. Charlotte, do you want to tell Matthew what your first record's going to be?
A Beastie Boys record.
Nice.
Have you decided which one yet?
The one with the solid gold hits from Indigo.
Oh, you want to get the one from Indigo? You don't want to get Licensed to Ill?
Oh, you got to get Paul's Boutique. You got to get Paul's Boutique.
Paul's Boutique's a pretty great record. That's the one that's got Shake Your Rumpa. Okay, so let's talk Ricky Ray while we have a few minutes here because you're CFL.ca's Matthew Cause.
That's right.
And I'm not really watching the Argos this year as we discussed and not like years past where I've been incredibly devoted.
Yeah.
I may have to get back into it though because now that Germany's out of the World Cup, I'm officially cheering for nobody again.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe.
You're like the only guy upset that Germany is out. Everyone was laughing about that.
I saw an amazing stat that of all the champions, only Brazil in the last five champions made it out of the group stage the next time it came around.
Yeah, the curse. Yeah, 4 out of 5 of the defending champs didn't make it out of the group stage.
That's true. Incredible.
I know. It's crazy. But anyway, Ricky Ray.
Yeah.
First thought, the scariest part of that hit, the moment after he got hit, the scariest thing that you can ever see is when an opposing player immediately calls for the sidelines for help. It reminds you when Joe Theismann, that injury back in 1985, suddenly Lawrence Taylor and Harry Carson, and all these linebackers were saying, help him. You head that with Ricky Ray. Everything went silent. Neck, head, back, 38 years old, brittle body. I don't want to see him play again.
Do you think he comes back?
No. No, I think he, you know, he's accomplished everything that he has. And
it felt like he wasn't even coming back this year. They weren't sure. They gave him a couple of months to think about it.
Yeah.
Suffers a devastating injury.
The only way I see him coming back is if he has some sort of really bad financial situation that we don't know about. Or he's just one of these athletes, and they exist, who don't have a plan B. And I hope he has a plan B for the next part of his life.
He seems like a reasonable guy, although who really knows. But, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's, you know, going to Money Mart to help the weekend go smoothly.
Yeah.
I remember interviewing him, and he was from Northern California, and he loved to fish.
Yeah.
If you love to fish,
yeah,
and you've got 4 great cups as a starter, and you just took a savage hit, go fish.
Go fish.
Just go fish.
Yeah, because, you know, it was a scary injury. You want a better mobility. And all you want is, listen, your final, you know, don't include this year. You won the Grey Cup. You were fantastic. Go out on a high.
Now, the Argos live year to year, and mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter how good they are in terms of ticket sales.
Yeah.
But you'd like the Argos to be good. I mean, you'd prefer them to be good.
Yep.
So what do they do now then?
They have the backup. James Franklin.
You said he was really good.
Yes, James Franklin, who was in Edmonton, every time he got an opportunity, he played really well. I think James Franklin can be a star. They signed him. It was their big risk because they traded for him and they could have lost him, but they were able to retain him. So I know everyone wants to talk about Johnny Manziel. By the way, Jeremiah Masoli is doing great for Hamilton. I think that James Franklin, give this guy a chance. Give him eight games. See what you got.
I got nothing left, speaking of what you got.
That's good, because we're out of time, Bob.
Okay, excellent. So shall we just wrap it up?
Bob, see you next week. I can't wait to see, by the time I upload this podcast, let's see who's been traded or moved.
I think we should do Monday or Tuesday. Why don't we plan for Tuesday?
Yep.
Because free agency begins mm-hmm. on the 1st.
Yep.
So you don't want to wait too long, because right. a lot of stuff will happen in the first couple of days. If we wait too long, then it's, you know, it's yesterday's news. We're talking leftovers.
Next podcast, Bob, I will see you on Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.